Good afternoon or good evening, as the time is. My name is Sam. So you guys, I'm one of the youth pastors here at Church of Our Savior, right? And I'm here to share with you a message about Good Friday / Easter. Right, Good Friday is not about a good church, right? Many times we always think about the Christian faith through the eyes of the church. But guys, I want to tell you guys that Good Friday is actually about a good God. Everyone say a good God. Right, and this good God died on the cross for our sins. Our sins were the only thing that was separating us between God and us, right? And that act of dying on the cross more than 2,000 years ago, that is good news. Everyone say good news. Right, and I would like to tell you my version of the good news, right? So I'm going to share a bit of a story, right? I hope you guys will indulge me. When I was 11, on Children's Day weekend, something a tragic event struck my family, right? And I was super heartbroken because on that day, my brother had a near-drowning incident, right? His swimming lesson was at 3 p.m., right? And mine was at 4:30. And at 3 o'clock, when he went for the swimming lesson, I never thought that when I said goodbye to him at the door, I would never see him the same again. Right, I took the pathway down Commonwealth to the old Commonwealth swimming pool complex, and to my horror, I saw an ambulance. And the ambulance, there were paramedics just wheeling a boy up, and to my horror, there was my younger brother, right, Timothy. And he was covered with veins, blue color, right, because of a lack of oxygen, and my mother was crying, right, at the back, and she was telling me my brother had just had a near-drowning incident. The story was that he had gone for a swimming lesson. The lifeguard was not on duty. He went to the toilet. He came back and he swam at the deeper end of the pool and no one saved him, right? He struggled with breathing and when he was discovered, right, it was too late. He was brought to the hospital. My mom and my dad rushed off to the hospital and I, as an 11-year-old, had no idea what to do, right? And in my heart, I didn't know, like, where to go, what to do, who to turn to. And at that point in time, guess what? There were no handphones. So as a P5 boy with no handphone, nothing to my name, I just carried my wallet back home and I walked past the coffee shop on my way and it was raining. It began to rain, cats and dogs, and I was getting drenched because I didn't bring an umbrella, right? And I walked past my favorite laksa stall near the railway track, which is now being redesigned. Right, and as I walked past the laksa stall, you know, the familiar hunger pangs that I felt normally when I walked past was just not there, right? I had lost my appetite. I walked past my favorite chicken rice stall growing up at S11. It was also not appetizing. And so I returned home. And when I returned home, I opened the gate and the door, and it was as dark as could be. Right, and for the first time, there wasn't my younger brother chirping about his favorite Pokemon. There wasn't my younger brother there to tell me about his favorite character from a movie that he just watched. Right, it was just silence. My mom and my dad were not there to give me a comfort hug. There was no one to meet me there. And I was distraught. I went to the floor of the kitchen, and I knelt down, and I groveled, and I cried, because for the first time ever, I experienced a crack in my heart. And that crack in my heart started to open up as I began to feel many fears start to surround me. What if my brother never makes it? What if I've lost the ability to say I love you to my brother forever? What if I'm going to face life all alone? And in those moments, the only thing I could think about was I should eat. Because whenever, you know, anyone was tired or whatever, my babysitter used to just give us food and I would feel better. So on that day, because I didn't know how to cook any other meal, guess what I cooked? Instant noodles. Right? I cooked Maggi noodles and my favorite flavor at that point in time was curry flavor. And the soup was dilute. The noodles were not QQ. Right? They were just hard and it felt cold, even though it was really hot. And for that brief moments of me eating that meal, I felt comforted. And I guess that's why comfort food is called comfort food, right? From then on, instant noodles became my comfort food. And I didn't know how to cope with it. I didn't know to talk to a counselor. I didn't know to find a friend to talk to. You know, when I went to school the very next day, right, when I saw my friends, it seemed like life had just gone on as per normal. And so there was nothing that was filling that hole in my heart until one day when we were in a computer lab, one of my friends, okay, how many of you have classmates that have told you something and influenced you in a bad way? Raise your hands. Wow, so few of you. God bless all of you. Right? For me, I was in that computer lab and then my friend said, hey, have you heard about this thing called pornography? And guess what? At that point in time, pornography was not even a big thing, right? It was such a small thing. And that friend, unfortunately, opened my world to the world of not so good stuff, right? He said, hey, you guys just need to Google this thing, man, and then it's going to come up, and then you're going to enjoy it and whatever. And that day, when I went home, right, there was a struggle, right? And I didn't even know at that point in time, because pornography was not as widespread as it is today, I didn't know that it was a bad thing, but something in my heart told me that this was the wrong thing to do. And I felt like I was walking through a wall that was providing so much resistance. But yet, I pushed through because of my curiosity, because of my intrigue, right? And that moment of curiosity and intrigue led to me typing those words on the computer. And at that point in time, computer, there's no such thing as laptop, I think, right? And the thing went into this circle thing because, you know, it's loading. And it opened my world into a really dark place. I started to surf porn, right? And at that point in time, it was the thing that fed the hole in my heart. And it fed the hole in my heart, and I began to feel a certain form of ecstasy. I felt a certain form of excitement. But you know something I always realized was that the moment I clicked close to every single window and clear history, there was an emptiness in my heart that began to grow bigger. Right? Let's all close our eyes. I want to ask a question. Right? Let's all close our eyes, okay? How many of you have felt the same way before? Just raise your hands. Yeah. Thank you for being honest, right? You can put your hands down. Let's open our eyes before you guys fall asleep. Right? And at a point when I closed the window, I began to feel this nervousness, this having to lie about what I did. And there was one time I was surfing, and then the door of my main door opened. I was in my room. I remember panicking. I remember closing everything as soon as I could. But fear and panic overtook me, and I realized that I was still very much not okay. With this group of friends, we went to secondary school, and some of them started playing this game, right, called Neopets. How many of you played Neopets? Well, Isabella, you are of a certain age, right? And we played Neopets, and it was a new thing I was addicted to. My mom told me that I should never be addicted to computer games. I had only a 1 hour limit, and she would hide the switchboard away from me. But because I was playful, I would go and find and hunt the entire house, because there were many times I came home and both my parents were out, and I had to just think about what I wanted to do. I didn't want to do my homework, right? I was one of those guys that did my homework during another subject so that there would be no homework to do at home so that I could play my computer, right? Efficiency. And when I found the switchboard, I began to start playing Neopets for hours and hours. And from Neopets, it slowly transitioned into the old Dota Battle.net. How many of you played Dota Battle.net? Wow, so few of you. Ben Chua. Right? And from Dota Battle.net, we found a new platform, Hamachi. Right? And Hamachi was where we realized we could get as many people as we wanted, 9 players, all friends, and we'll all set a meeting, 7:30 p.m. tonight. We're going to play multiple games. And when we all got on the game together, right, we started to play. In that 1 hour, I lost sense of reality. And for that 1 hour, I was into a whole new world. Right, I'm not going to sing you the song, but you all know what I'm saying about. Right, the fantasy and the idea that I had power to take control of my situation was so attractive to me. And when I was into that game, I began to realize that I started to shout. I began to realize that I started to say vulgarities, right? And I would type it out, because back then, I didn't have a mic. Right now, we all have mics, so unfortunately, we have to hear each other's voices. But back then, I would type it out, right? And sometimes that would slow me down, and I would think, maybe this is the wrong thing to do, right? And that opened me up to the world of anger, vulgarities. And I began to realize that I was really unhappy. I was really angry with the situation that I was in. But I had no idea that what I was angry with in the game was actually a reflection of what I was angry with in real life. The loss of control, the idea of defeat, the idea that my teammates had punctured me, the idea that my teammates had Q-sealed me. Man, I hated that. And right, when I found out that all of these things, staying up to 3 a.m. to play Dota, and then waking up at 6 a.m. was not working out for my studies, I began to realize, never mind, I can plunge myself into the world of studies. And this was Sec 4, my prelims, I scored 27 points. Not prelims, sorry, my mid-years. I scored 27 points. And I told God, I want to get to a good JC. I want to go to a place where everyone will recognize that I'm a good person. Because somehow I linked the idea of going to a good school to being a good person. Right, and so I studied really hard. I spent every hour spending time just writing timetables, color coding. How many of you color code your textbooks? There we go. How many of you write notes in a different notebook, even though you know your notes are exactly the same as your textbook? That was me, rewriting the biology textbook, just thinking that I could memorize every single thing that I wrote. And guess what? When I scored not so great, right, I remember going to the Fairfield Secondary toilet, right, and going to the toilet door, and I thought, man, Sam, you're such a loser. Even if you punch this door, it's not going to come down. So I punched the door, and to my horror, the door broke. Probably because the hinge was off, but I did not realize. I'm not saying I'm strong. But, you know, at that point in time, I was so upset and so distraught with everything that was going about me, right? Then the worst thing happened. I began to discover the world of the opposite gender. Right, I began to make phone calls. Right, I didn't know why I was doing it. I just realized that when I talked to a girl in real life, it was nice. So I began to call girls, right, one by one. And back then, even in primary six, right, I would make 3-hour phone call. My parents were not home, so that's why that didn't, you know, they didn't stop it. It's not because my parents were bad, but I don't know what her parents were doing, right. And somehow we were on the phone for 3 hours and we would talk on, and somehow that fed something in my heart. Until the moment we hung up the phone. You see, everything was temporary, everything was superficial, and as a young boy, I had no idea what I was getting myself into, but I was discovering that nothing really fit into that hole of my heart. Sometimes when we hit rock bottom, it's because it's an opportunity for us to discover whether the foundations of our life can be held up, right? And if these tragedies or these moments or circumstances can hit us to a point where our house is like on sand, then maybe we need, or maybe that tragedy is an opportunity, right, to put a better foundation in place so that we are unshakable. And so that Saturday, I went to church and my heart was really hardened. Right, I think for some of us, we've tried to do something about how we feel, about being left out, from being not in community, from being betrayed, from being compared to by our parents, by many things. I came to this auditorium, and I sat where I think that reserve seat is, right? And at a point, I had no idea what to do. I was hardened. The songs were blasting. At a point in time, John Hems, the guy who mans the sound booth, was playing the guitar. And I remember the worship leader was jumping and yelling on stage, but I couldn't understand what they were worshiping for. The front was packed, but I had no idea why people would want to come to the front. Was there something special here? And in that darkest moments, I said a prayer. And I know most of you have experienced prayers in the form of a religious, devout thing, where you see a Buddhist monk pray, or you might have seen a pastor pray, or you might have seen someone in habit say grace. But those were not the kind of prayers I was making, because I was neither religious nor devout, nor was I trying to cultivate a habit. It was a raw desire to have a heart-to-heart conversation. And in that moment, I said, this is superficial. This is temporary. I've had enough. And we all have a question in our lives, if we were to be very honest with ourselves. I was just sick with a stomach flu 2 days ago, right? So if I need to go to the toilet, I think someone will replace me right now. But when I was at stomach flu, having a stomach flu, almost bedridden. I couldn't even get off my bed to go to the toilet. I felt so weak. And you know, in those moments, we have a question. I don't know what your question is. It could be that you feel like you want to ask, if you had that chance to ask God a question, and if you had this chance to know that He was definitely real, right? Would you ask Him, am I beautiful enough? Or would you ask Him, you know, what is my destiny? What am I meant to do with this life? Or would you ask, what is the meaning of me being in school? Or would you ask, why are my friends like this? Why am I married to this person? There are many questions we could be asked, right? We could be asking. But on that day, I just had one question. And I yelled out, because the benefit of having worship in an auditorium where it's super dark and everyone is singing at the top of their lungs is that if you shout, no one can hear you. I shouted, do you even care? Do you even care that I've been going through and trying to make do in my life with a brother that has been not at home and not back to normal? Do you care that my parents are not at home and they're having to spend more attention on my brother than I? Do you even care that I'm trying to understand what fun is in my teenage life? Do you care that I'm struggling, that I'm wounded? And in those moments, when we say the most honest and raw thing in our heart, and if we have a friend that is really good, that friend will help us feel like it's a safe space, right? And you know what? God is a friend. And He made that place not just a safe space. God made that place a place I could cry out. The song began to play, and the song was, you walk on waves, you run with clouds, you paint the skies for me to see. Your majesty, it's why I'll sing. You run on clouds, you paint the skies for me to see. In that moment, an assurance came into my heart. And I think for some of you, you have experienced that before. For those of you who have not even been in church, perhaps you felt that before already. And there is God speaking to you. And in that moment, I felt, you're cared for. And that hole in my heart was completely healed that day. I'm not saying that it's a one-off. I'm not saying that just because there was that one moment I was kneeling there at that side of the auditorium and there was a really great song playing, that something good will happen to you. I'm not even saying that it has to be the same for you. But I'm saying this, that God will want to reach your heart because He wants to fill the gap in you. Can I hear an amen? I want to talk about Good Friday. We all have a chance for this hole to be filled. And I don't know what that hole was created from, but I know the answer to every hole in every heart. The answer is Jesus. More than 2,000 years ago, like what I began this sermon saying, He stretched His hands out wide because He wanted to die for our wrongs and our mistakes, because those wrongs and those mistakes were the thing that was blocking us from having a relationship with Him. When He died on the cross for our sins, there was an invitation into a relationship. I want to read an article that I just read, and I adapted it a little bit. Right? It is by Chad Bird, and he wrote, God is not the distant deity who merely gazes on us from above as we wallow in our holes, in our pits. He is the God who joins us in that hole by becoming a human Himself. Here on earth, they call Him Jesus. And in that pit, in that hole, He chose to join Himself to us. He not only has eyes for the ones that are doing well, He has eyes for the ones who are doing lonely. He shares the flesh and the blood of the lowly, the hands that brilliantly created the cosmos, nailed upon the cross mercilessly, the knees, the one before whom all angels bow before, got on his knees to carry the very cross that he would die upon. We become clean while he becomes filthy. In doing this, he shows us a revelation of who he is. What kind of God would labor, be pierced, whipped, and suffer, eventually dying on the cross? What kind of God would do that? The God who makes his glory visible in lowliness and servitude. He is the God who gives his head to the crown of thorns, his feet to the spikes, his side to the spear. He is the God who embraces rejection, shame, torture, and death, all for us. I heard a story from my wife, Gloria. I didn't know she would be introduced before this, about a child who was abandoned in China, and she was physically deformed, without a cent to her name. She didn't have a family to belong to, and this family from America was documenting their journey to adopting this child. From the time they did the paperwork, their agonizing wait, and the more than 24-hour journey between America to China, it's practically different worlds, to finally receiving her, bringing her home. It was such an emotional journey, fraught with much anticipation, worry that the adoption would not be approved, or even worse, that the child would not like them as parents. They made the physical journey to a country with a vastly different culture. They created room in their hearts for her to have a home. 1 year on, this child has a home, she has a family, an inheritance, a future, and a hope. When Jesus died on the cross for our sins, he adopted us into his family. He chose to become our father. When he chose to look past our sins, he made that journey to bring us to him through the agony and pain on the cross. He made known the desire, can I adopt you? Out of the pain and that hole, that loneliness, that struggle of sin, the need to be better than how you were created, he wanted to adopt us away from all of that. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18 says, I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters. There is a God who wants to be your father. John chapter 1, verse 12, yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave them the right to become children of God. This right could be ours tonight if we made that choice to approve of this adoption. It would make no sense if we were adopted, died on the cross for, but then chose to run away or distrust a good father. It would be incredibly sad if we did not approve of this because we didn't believe that a father could be good. Imagine you had an ATM account and it had a debt to your name. And I told you I was going to transfer $1 million to that account, whether it's DBS, OBA, OCBC, or whatever. Will you check this out? Will you trust me and have faith that the debt in your account has been cleared, and beyond that, you have gained an inheritance? Checking your account will require you to believe that what I said is true. In the same way, what good is the debt paid if we do not trust and have faith? What good is there if we know, but we do not use the inheritance? This inheritance is his death for our sins. We can change our lives tonight, today. We can trust in him. We no longer have to try to fill our lives, try to fill that emptiness, try to settle that frustration and that anger. It can be filled. Check your ATM account tonight. You know, something incredible. After his death on the cross, on the third day, the ground began to shake. And the stone that was covering the tomb was rolled away. Because as we sang earlier, His perfect love for you and I could not be overcome. He said to His disciples, "Take heart, I've overcome the world." And tonight, we can overcome. We can overcome because of His death on the cross. We no longer need to be lonely. We no longer need to feel the emptiness. Our generation uses binging. Binging on shows. Binging on stories. Binging on food. Binging on even friends. Multiple tabs open on our windows of our computer. Because we are trying to fill something in our hearts. But guys, can I tell you tonight that binging will get you nowhere. It will not fill that hole, because after you have surfed Netflix, after you have surfed that page of pornography, after you have put down that phone call to whomever, and after you have visited whatever place you visited, the road home is still going to be lonely. It's still going to be empty. There is only one path that I can guarantee you you'll be accompanied with. That you will be forever occupied with. That you will be journeyed with. That journey is back to the house of God. That journey is back to the cross. Back to our knees. Where you realize, I don't want to do this anymore. God, if there is a God out here in this universe, I need you. I want you. I don't want to try anymore. I want to try in your love. I want to experience a real relationship with an eternal being. I want to know what a life of passion looks like. I want to know what it means to live in your death and then experiencing your life in me. To experience what the disciples felt when Jesus came back on the third day. And He encountered them and He said, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the world." A new mission, something to consume our lives about. A new relationship and an intimacy that will rival no other. Today I believe some of you are here for the first time. And maybe it's the first time you're hearing me speak. I want to plead with you. Don't let anything come between the tenderness of your heart and what you're experiencing right here and right now. Because God is moving in your midst and He's speaking. Very often we make Christianity sound like a concept or a culture or a religion of many things to do. But today I want to introduce a new concept. I know many of us, if not all, know our late founding father, the late Lee Kuan Yew. But how many of us have a relationship with him? Many of us have seen Passion of the Christ, or probably seen someone wearing one of those cross necklaces. And you know God, but do you actually have a relationship with him? A relationship that will fill that hole of your heart. If you don't, I'm going to make a call. And I want all eyes to be closed and all heads to be bowed. If you are hearing this and you've never been a Christian before and you're wondering, what am I getting myself into? Let me assure you, what you're getting yourself into is a lifetime of a life of abundance. A life of adventure. A life of passion, a life of enjoyment, and a life caring and loving beyond your own person. There's going to be a meaning and a purpose that is way bigger than just getting into the best school possible. There's going to be a life and meaning beyond just getting good results. There's going to be a joy in your heart when you wake up in the morning. There's going to be a spring in your step. And this is not magical. These are the traits of someone in love. And I guarantee you, God loves you so incredibly much. Tonight, if you know that God is speaking to you somehow and you've never received Christ into your heart before, if you never said yes to getting to know this Jesus with all eyes closed and all heads bowed, I want to give you this opportunity at the count of three that you raise your hands. One, He died on the cross for your sin, bearing the agony of His flesh nailed upon that cross, blood dripping down, cloaked. In that moment, two, He yelled, "Tetelestai!" It meant paid in full. Your debt has been paid. Everything that you've done wrong, it has been settled here on the cross. You are no longer in debt. Your hole can be filled. The question of your life can be answered. Three, God loves you so much. Will you just raise your hands if you want God to come into your heart? If you would like to get to know this God, I see your hand. Thank you so much. I see your hand. I see all your hands. I'm going to just give a little bit more time. All eyes closed and all heads bowed still. Perhaps you're feeling like you've heard all of this. You want a logical explanation to why your life has turned out the way it has. To be very frank, I probably do not know you. But I can tell you this. In 350 lives here in this auditorium, we discovered that this God can meet all our needs. According not to just our needs, but to an overflow. And I know it's going to sound strange, but I'm going to ask you for a leap. For you to make a leap of faith. The only missing part of this entire puzzle is just for you to make that choice and say, yes, I want to be adopted. Yes, I want to say yes to this family. I know they are all human. We are all broken. We all make mistakes. Me included. If that is you, and your heart is hardened, but you still want to know Jesus, could you also raise your hands? Yep, I see your hand. Thank you. I'm going to say a prayer for all, every person that raised their hands earlier. If you are the person that raised your hand earlier, all you need to do is just receive what I'm saying. Say amen. All right? Lord, God of heaven and earth, You saw the hands that were raised, but more importantly, You saw their hearts. You saw that there was a desire to get to know You. Today, will You show them Your invitation? You say that if they draw near, You will draw near to them. And God, I know that You are drawing near to them. God, I pray that You will guide them in this journey of what it means to be a Christian. Forever understanding and getting to know new facets of who You are. Lord, I pray that Your intimacy will just surround them. Your love and Your grace and Your kindness will fill their hearts. That You will answer the holes and the needs that they need. In Jesus' name, amen. Shall we all stand to our feet? I'm going to ask a second favor for those of you who raised your hands. It's going to require courage. But could you, with the person that brought you today, or even if you come up alone, don't fear. Because guess what? It's a celebration. It is a really good thing. Right? I want to invite you to come to the front, right? To the right side, to my right. And even as the song plays later on, to just come up and not be afraid, to let someone just guide you. I promise they won't force anything on you. They just want to help you get to know Jesus more. So if that is you, I'd like to welcome you to the front, to the right side of the stage. Could you just come quickly to the front?
Father has lavished on us that we should be called His sons and daughters, precious in His sight.
Even as the song plays, you know, I just want to encourage you to just come to the front. Those of you who were responding earlier, right? Just come. Those of you who rose your hands, just come, you know. Everyone else is worshiping. Right? Let's do that.
Thank you for loving me. When on the cross you made history. Die for me forever. My praise will go to Thee, oh God. Thank You for choosing me to be Your child and bear Your name. Oh Jesus, I will never cease to sing Your praise. Thank You for loving me. And Your love is patient and humble and kind. It's greater than all my sin. It always protects and trusts and and will have no end. Your love that lifted me up from the depths, set my feet on a solid rock with a firm place to stand. Lord, I always will trust in Your love.
I also like to open up the altar, right, specifically for any of you who have felt like you had a nightmare in your younger days until today it has haunted you, right? Can go to where Gian is. Could you wave your hand? Yeah, so you can just go to where Gian is, right? Because God wants to fill that hole that was created by that nightmare. The altar is still open for those of you who raised your hand earlier. I know there were more of you who raised your hand saying that you wanted to get to know Jesus, right? Just come to the front. But in my script, there's a second part And this is also a very important part of the sermon, a very quick part. We had 11 brothers and sisters baptize themselves, get baptized today. Let's all give them a round of applause. And when they did so, what they were saying was that they wanted to be committed in a relationship. That they entered into the pool as their old selves. And when they were plunged into the water, completely immersed, and they came out, they were a new creation. And beyond that, they decided that they will be disciples of Jesus. Disciples who would surrender everything, every relationship they had, to follow God. That if God were to, so to speak, ask, come with me, go to this place, I want you to speak to this person, I want you to start to pray, I want you to start to read this book, that they would. And today I want to open the altar on, I guess, my right side now as well, for those of you who have been here for many years, or even a few months or a few weeks. You're a Christian, but you know, you kind of know that you have been struggling with your relationship. You've grown lukewarm. You're no longer concerned about the relationship with God. You've grown concerned about the friends that you've made. You've grown concerned about the ministry to pick. You've grown concerned about which girl likes you or which guy likes you. Well, today, there is a reset button for you. Because Easter is a day of hope. Take heart, I have overcome the world. If that is you and you want to commit your life to Jesus as His disciple, you've had enough of hearing. You've had enough of spectating. You want to have a piece of this. You want to have a piece of the action. You don't want to be one of the 77,000 people watching Man U lose to Barcelona. You want to get on the field and you want to play the game. As funny as that sounds, I know some of you, you want to get in the game, but you have no idea how to start. Well, today there is a start for you. Where Pastor Titus and David are standing, I want to welcome you to just come to the front. Right? Many of you, it doesn't matter. Right? And it doesn't require the song to start again. If you want to recommit your life, and you no longer want to play in the junior league, you want to play the low basketball hoop, you want to play like the big boys, you want to play like the disciples in the Bible, you want to be like one of the apostles following their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, I want to welcome you to this side of the stage. Okay? So even as we sing the second verse again of that song, is it song? Or do you want to play another song? Okay, we'll listen to what AJ says. Right, we're going to play the second verse of the song again. And if that is you, right, you just come to this side where Pastor Titus is, where David is. Just recommit your life. Right, just surrender again. Okay, just come.
Your love is gentle and patient and kind. It's greater than all my sin. It always protects and trusts and hopes and will have no end. It's your love that lifted me up from the depths and set my feet on a solid rock with a firm place to stand. Lord, I always will trust in your loving hand. Oh God, thank you for child and bear your name.
Shall we all close our eyes even as I pray? There's one last group, and this one I'm not going to ask you guys to come out. But I think for some of us, we are feeling hardened, kind of like how I felt when I was here at that service more than 10 years ago. And if that's you, can I just see your hands? Could you just raise your hands if you're feeling that you've been hardened for a while? Yep, thank you. I see your hand. I'd like to pray for you very quickly. Father, I want to pray for my brothers and sisters who are feeling like they have tried many things, but Lord, the times have been tough. And it has led to a frustration, it has led to an anger and upsetness, and things are just not going well, and their hearts have grown hardened and weary. God, I pray you reach out to them, Lord, because they are your children. Lord, I pray, will you reach out to them, and will you touch them, Lord, with your love? Will you show them in some way in this week, in this weekend even, on these 2 days, that you know and that you are doing something for them? For you have a hope and a future planned for them. That you have nothing evil planned for them, Lord. It is just good, Lord. And even though it is difficult right now, help them see the light at the end of the tunnel. Help them have hope. Help them have the joy. And Lord, most importantly, help them be tender once again to your love and your kindness. Let me pray for everyone else in the congregation. Shall we lift up our hands even as I pray for you? May the road rise up to meet you. May the wind be always at your back. May the sun shine warm upon your face. The rains fall soft upon your fields until we meet again. May God hold you in the palm of His hand. Lord, we pray for your blessing to be upon every single youth, every single parent, every single visitor, everyone who is here in our midst. Lord, that you will show them your kindness on this week of Easter. Lord, that you will show them that you love them. Lord, will they be aware of the reality that you are real? God, will you show them a supernatural glimpse, Lord, of what is going on in their life? Lord, I want to pray for those who have started poly. Lord, we want to pray for favor, Lord, even as they have formed groups and they have to do their assignments. We want to pray for the uni students getting into week 13, week 14, the recess break right before their exams start. Lord, we want to pray, Lord, Father, for special anointing even as they start to study. Lord, help them all do well for your glory. Lord, we want to pray for all the others who are in school, secondary, JC, special schools, ITE. Lord, we want to pray, Lord Father, that you help them study hard, help them do well, Lord Father. Bless them. Lord, we pray for the working adults who are here serving in our youth. Lord, we pray, Lord, will you give them favor with their bosses, give them good colleagues, Lord. Help them be able to enjoy the meaning and purpose of their job. And Lord, for anyone that I've not talked about or prayed about, like the army guys, Lord Father, will they have just such a good week at their camps, good week wherever they are. So Lord, we want to lift everyone into your hands. Lord, we want to pray you be with them here and forever. And all God's people say. All God's people say.
Amen. Let's give God a round of applause. You guys know Avengers Endgame is coming, right? I just want to remind everyone that, you know, even as we talk about Good Friday, Jesus dying on the cross for us, that wasn't his endgame. Because 3 days later, he rose from the grave. Can I hear an amen? Do you all believe that Jesus rose from the grave? And in that, there is power in Him resurrecting from the cross. We are not worshipping a God that is dead, that was nailed to the cross. That wasn't the end game. But 3 days later, His grave shook and He rose from the dead. Do you guys believe that? And in John 16, verse 33, a very powerful verse, it says, I have told you these things. This is Jesus speaking, not me. Jesus speaking. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world, you may face trouble. You may face tribulation. But take heart. Be of good cheer. Jesus is saying, I have overcome the world. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
So no matter... All right, let's show of hands. How many of you here are going through troubles, are going through tribulations in your walk here on this earth? You can just raise up your hand. I mean, everyone, we face something that is weighing us down. And today, Jesus is telling you, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Amen?
Amen.
So Father, I just want to pray for my brothers and sisters who are going through a difficult time, who are going through trials and tribulations. Lord, you may not have promised that everything will go smoothly when we believe you, when we choose to follow you. But you promise that you will be with us every single step of the way. You have promised us, you have shown us that you have overcome the world. Not even death could hold you down.
Yeah.
So Father, I just pray for your life to be in each and every one of us. Holy Spirit, to be in each and every one of us, bringing us comfort, bringing us joy, and reminding us of the victory that we have received in Jesus. So we thank you, and we lift everyone in this auditorium into your loving hands. In Jesus' name we all pray.
Amen.
Amen.
All right, I've got three very short announcements. Everyone say three. The first announcement is that we had a salvation in the house tonight. So shall we all praise God and also clap for the person who is received. Oh, we have two people. Okay, so let's all encourage them. Super great. All right, the second thing. Look to your left and to your right. Do you notice that this auditorium is packed? Right? Everyone give each other a round of applause for just being here on this Easter weekend, right? Awesome stuff. Last but not least, right, I want to remind all of you guys, next week, don't go to the chapel or to whatever room you're having Alpha. Come back to this auditorium because there'll be youth service. So see you here next week, 4:30 p.m. God bless.
Thanks for tuning in. We trust you have been blessed. For more information, check us out at www.cruise.org.sg. God bless.